Picture a man climbing over a monastery wall at midnight, not to enter, but to flee. Andy Puddicombe wasn't running from danger. He was escaping the very place designed to bring him peace. Years later, this former Buddhist monk would help millions find calm through his Headspace app, now valued at over $250 million. But his journey reveals something surprising. Most of us don't need enlightenment. We just need practical tools to handle the chaos in our heads. What if the peace we're chasing isn't about silencing our thoughts at all, but learning to sit comfortably beside them? Here's what nobody tells you about meditation. It's not about stopping thoughts. When Puddicombe first entered monastic life, he meditated 18 hours daily, catching and extinguishing every thought. He was exhausted and failing. His teacher offered a different image. Imagine sitting blindfolded beside a busy highway, hearing cars pass constantly. That's your mind before meditation. Remove the blindfold and start meditating, and suddenly you see all the traffic clearly. Many beginners panic, thinking meditation created the thoughts when it simply revealed what was always there. The key isn't running into traffic trying to stop cars. It's staying seated on the roadside, watching them pass. Sometimes you'll chase a pleasant thought or block an unpleasant one, but eventually you remember to return to your seat. His teacher introduced another metaphor. Your mind is like a clear blue sky, with thoughts and emotions appearing as clouds, some fluffy and white, others dark and heavy. Meditation isn't about keeping clouds away, but watching them pass while the natural sky emerges on its own. While Puddicombe grew comfortable watching thoughts, strong emotions remained his nemesis. His teacher's counterintuitive solution: when experiencing pleasant sensations, imagine sharing them with others. When experiencing unpleasant ones, imagine taking on others' suffering. This approach eliminated resistance by reversing instincts. Sharing pleasant sensations made them last longer, while imagining he experienced pain on behalf of others made it easier to sit with. Tragic events in his late teens, his stepsister's death, an ex-girlfriend dying during surgery, witnessing friends killed by a drunk driver, created emotions he buried rather than processed. But buried emotions don't disappear. They surface eventually, either as the emotion itself, through behavioral changes, or as physical symptoms. When persistent sadness disrupted his meditation, his teacher challenged his understanding of happiness. True happiness isn't avoiding sadness, but feeling comfortable with whatever emotion arises. Then came the crucial question: where exactly did the sadness reside in his body? As Puddicombe searched during meditation, he noticed it constantly shifted and changed. The more he observed it with simple awareness rather than thinking about it, the more its intensity diminished. Meditation doesn't eliminate unpleasant emotions, but creates awareness that leaves little room for them to operate. The problem isn't the emotion itself, but our reaction to it. Like clouds passing over a cliff face, emotions create illusions about reality while the underlying truth remains unchanged. Despite thousands of meditation techniques worldwide, most share one core intention: remaining focused, relaxed, and aware, essentially resting in the moment. All techniques rely on concentration, calming the mind, and clarity, gaining insight. Our untrained minds constantly throw pebbles into the still pool of consciousness, creating ripples that prevent clarity. The more we try to fix our minds, the more disturbance we create. Without first calming the mind, we cannot gain insight into our thoughts and emotions. At one monastery, Puddicombe was instructed to cut a tennis court-sized lawn with scissors. Initially furious, after about an hour of focusing on the task rather than his thoughts, his mind settled. This taught him that while external triggers may ignite anger, we're responsible for maintaining it. A Tibetan teacher shared a powerful metaphor. Imagine walking down the same street every day, repeatedly falling into a hole. When you start meditating, you become aware of the hole, but still fall in due to habit. With continued practice, you see the hole earlier and eventually learn to walk around it. Meditation isn't about good or bad experiences, but about awareness itself. There's no such thing as good and bad meditation, only distracted or undistracted. Your only job is to observe as the story unfolds. The Take 10 exercise is a simple 10-minute meditation. Sit comfortably with a straight back, turn off your phone, and set a timer. Take 5 deep breaths through your nose and out through your mouth, then close your eyes. Focus on physical sensations, your body on the chair, feet on the floor. Scan through your body, acknowledging comfortable and uncomfortable areas without judgment. Notice where you feel the breaths rising and falling most strongly, observing whether it's long or short, deep or shallow, rough or smooth. Count breaths as you focus. 1 with the rise, 2 with the fall, up to 10, then repeat. When finishing, release all focus for about 20 seconds, allowing your mind complete freedom. Return attention to your body's sensation before gently opening your eyes. This brings body and mind together, something rare when we're physically present but mentally elsewhere. The breath serves as an ideal focal point because it's autonomous and self-regulating. Rather than controlling it, observe its rhythm with gentle curiosity. The final phase, letting your mind be completely free, is crucial. Paradoxically, thoughts often decrease when you stop trying to focus. Mindfulness extends beyond formal practice. During monastic training, Puttakamb learned 4 meditation postures: seated, walking, standing, and lying down, as ways to remain present in any position. An American monk in Thailand complained about having no time to meditate, despite 8 formal hours daily. His teacher responded, "Are you telling me you've no time to be mindful? When sweeping the courtyard, can't you be aware of sweeping?" The monk realized meditation applies to all activities, not just formal sitting. One client arrived feeling disconnected, caught in work thoughts that affected his relationships. Within a week of daily meditation, he stopped shouting at his kids. By the 3rd week, after practicing walking meditation, he returned astonished. "I've lived here 15 years, walking this street daily, but never actually seen it until now." Most people only taste the first few bites of food before slipping into semi-conscious eating. At one monastery, Puttakamb was served foods he disliked, not for punishment, but to examine the experience of dislike. This taught him that direct experience differs greatly from preconceived ideas. Meditation requires regular practice. Think of it like learning a musical instrument. Sporadic sessions yield little progress, while daily 10-minute practice builds lasting skill and provides the best opportunity to experience awareness and stillness. Create a consistent environment. Find a quiet spot where you can sit undisturbed, a bedroom corner, garden space, or parked car. Using the same tidy location daily trains your mind to shift into meditation mode more easily. Morning practice is ideal. The house is quiet, it clears mental grogginess, and ensures meditation actually happens. Use a timer to stay present and experience all aspects of your mind, not just the pleasant ones. Living mindfully means developing gentle curiosity about your actions, words, and thoughts. Notice how your perspective shifts. One day a crowded train bothers you, another day it doesn't. This reveals that external circumstances cause less difficulty than what's happening internally. Peace isn't about silencing the noise. It's about learning to sit comfortably beside it. Your mind will always generate thoughts, but you don't have to be swept away by every passing current. The blue sky is always there, behind every cloud. Start with 10 minutes tomorrow morning.